song service this evening. Appreciate Brother Burrell's humble prayer, and we ask you to pray for us the time that we stand before you this evening. Last week when we were here, we looked at one of the most beautiful relationships to me in Scripture, the relationship between Paul and Timothy, an old preacher, so to speak, and a young preacher. I hope that you took time to go back and read 1 and 2 Timothy. It's some good reading and very encouraging to the Lord's people. Tonight we want to look at another one of Paul's sidekicks, one of his associates, one of his brothers in the flesh, in the spirit, and in the ministry, a man by the name of Barnabas. That's right, Brother Burrell. We all need some Barnabases in our life. This is a world of discouragement, and we sing that song sometimes. Brother Doug selects it quite often. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I thank the Lord. Those of you who gather here on Wednesday night, I believe I can speak to Brother James as well. You are a source of great encouragement to the ministry of this church. Those of you who get to come and visit with us at Antioch from time to time, these smaller churches, you are a great encouragement to us. And I just ask you that I know sometimes travel at night gets a little more difficult, but we'd love to have you come and visit and certainly pray for our smaller churches, our sister churches, because we mentioned this before, you know, when an old Baptist church closes anywhere, if they're old line, it concerns me deeply. And we know we see that quite often. There's churches that were once very active and where the gospel was preached, but now it's just the weeds have grown up around the building, and the saints of Zion are no longer gathering there. But you'll find that this is a book of encouragement right here, a book of great encouragement. You'll find in the Old Testament several times where the word encourage was used. One in Deuteronomy chapter 3, I believe it was, they said, charge Joshua. Charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go before thee and shall cause thee to inherit the land that you shall see. You remember one time they sent 12 spies out there to Canaan's land, and 10 came back, and all they saw was the men of Anak, the giants. That he said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb looked at things from a different perspective. As I mentioned, Romans 8:31 the other day, that if God be for us, who then can be against us? And they said, they steal the congregation. They steal the people, and by saying, let us go up at once and possess the land. Let's go do it right now. Let's don't hesitate. So they encourage themselves. And they said, charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go before thee and shall cause thee to inherit the land that thou shalt see. There was a king of Judah one time by the name of Josiah. Josiah, the Bible says, kept the Passover. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, I think. He said that he kept the Passover and set the charges, set the priests in their charges. And they're not worded it exactly like that. Their duties, their responsibility. He charged the priests and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. That was a pretty good position for a king to take, to understand he needs to charge the church. President Donald Trump needs the church to be strong in this nation. All denominations, all faith, all the ones that call upon the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I believe that it's some of those old saints of God is why the Lord spares this country. Brother Russell, from the fall that certainly can come. We have no guarantee that freedom will continue in this country. And I didn't mention it tonight, but I want to pray for Sister Debbie, touched on it here tonight, but I didn't mention 6 policemen shot in Philadelphia today. I heard Brother Braden was telling me about it, and I heard on the way down here a little bit more about it on the radio, and so they expect them all to be fine but That's the place we're living in. That's the country in which we live in. We need encouragement. And we have encouragement. again, the Bible says that the Lord be for us, who then can be against us? That's great encouragement to me to face the trials and tribulations that we know we'll face in this life. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, I've mentioned this before. There's some wonderful preaching in 1 Samuel chapter 30, Brother James. David and his men had been off at battle for a long time, and I don't remember if it says in Scripture how long they've been gone, but when they got home, the community had been burned with fire. David's home had been burned. Their possessions had been taken. The women and the children had been taken captive. And, you know, those men who served with David in the military turned on him very quickly, didn't they? Sometimes in life, seems like the world will turn on you pretty quickly. Some people will, but I'm thankful for the household of faith that will be with you through all the adversity. And I've been through a lot of adversity in my lifetime, and I can't begin to tell you how indebted I feel to the church for helping me through some dark times in my life. Isn't it wonderful to have the fellowship with the saints of God? And I'm thankful for that and the encouragement we have from the Lord's people. But David, they said they wept till they had no more power to weep. I could only understand. I could understand about the plight that they faced. I'm sure on that ride home from battle, they were looking very forward to being at home again and being with their loved ones. And when they got there, it was ashes. It had been burned. But you know, the Bible says that they were ready to stone David. They said, "You're the reason this came upon us." But what did David do? The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He talked to the Lord, and the Lord told him, he asked, "Are we able to overcome this enemy?" He said, "Yeah, you pursue, because you shall surely overtake them and recover all." We need to focus upon the promises of God, friends. I may promise you something and fall through on it. I may not follow through with it, but if the Lord has promised something, it will come to pass at some point. And upon the shores of time, it will happen just as He said it would. In Judges chapter 20, we find the Israelites facing the Benjamites in battle at Gibeah. And initially, I forget the exact numbers, but I think it was 22,000 killed the first day of the Israelites. There was 18,000 the next day. And on the second day, I know they prayed to the Lord, and He said, "This battle shall be yours, that you'll win this battle." But on the second day, they were defeated again. The Bible says that they wept loudly, and they fasted, and they prayed, and encouraged themselves. And the Lord had promised them they would be successful in battle, and on the third day, everything turned, the pendulum swung, and the Israelites began to be victorious. They killed, I think it was 25,100, and then 18,000, and 5,000, and 2,000, all within the same day as they began to flee. But I want to go for the rest of our time this evening for just a little while and to the book of Acts. That's where you're going to find most about this great man Barnabas. He was named Joses, was his name. We find in Acts chapter 4, at the end of it, the last two verses, it says, "And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Think about the old patriarchs of the church. Think about those mothers in Israel who have withstood the test of time and remained faithful to the church. When the doors of Union Church opened, they were here. That's a source of great encouragement to the Lord's people. When His children will forsake the things of this world and come out to the Lord's house at the appointed time and worship Him. The Bible says he sold some land and he went and laid his money at the apostles' feet. Go over to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, I've tried to preach on this. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture about Saul of Tarsus and the transformation from Saul to Paul. You remember he was walking, he got letters of authority from those in Jerusalem to go to Damascus, 150 to 180 miles away, and he was going to bring those he found, calling upon the name of the Lord, he's going to bring them bound back to Jerusalem to stand trial and probably to be stoned to death, to be put to death. As you went, I'm not going to focus too much on that part of what happened. You remember, he was struck down in 3 days. He was without sight, without natural sight. But during that time, he developed a different spiritual sight that resulted in him becoming one of the greatest apostles. He said he was the least of the apostles and the chiefest of sinners. But friends, he was a blessing to the Lord's people and an example, a source of encouragement for us as we sojourn in this life. But you know, when he got there to Damascus, the Lord appeared unto a man by the name of Ananias and told him, said, Ananias, said, go out into the street that's called Straight and go to the house of a man by the name of Judas and inquire about a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he went there and reluctantly, he first said, Lord, no, I've heard much of this man, how he had persecuted the church in Jerusalem, and now he's here in Damascus, our city, to do the same thing. But the Lord told him, said Ananias, that he's become a chosen vessel unto me. And then Ananias did exactly what the Lord had instructed him to do. He went to the house of Judas, and guess what he found Paul doing? Praying. Any surprise there? He told him, that's what you're going to find. He said, behold, he prayeth. And how did Ananias address him? Brother Saul. Brother Saul. But you know, one thing, I always focus my attention up on that part, but one part I didn't focus my attention much on is what happened when they got back to Jerusalem. The Saul that left and the Paul that came back had a total different outlook on the religious world and on the doctrine of the saints of God. And when he got back, let's see, in here in chapter 9, in verse 26, it says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he desired to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They saw what left. They weren't sure about what came back. But this man of consolation, the son of consolation, this man of great encouragement, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, friend, you go ahead and read the rest of the story there, as Paul Harvey says, some beautiful beautiful scripture after that. But just pause and meditate upon that a few minutes. What Saul of Tarsus had left Jerusalem en route to Damascus to do, and the different point of view, the different mindset he had when he came back to Jerusalem. Such that those disciples, those people that knew him, did not even want to include him as one of the disciples. He essayed to join with them. He wanted to have a part, didn't he? How thankful are we this evening that we have a part in the Lord's church? Sometimes I take it for granted, Brother Doug. Oh, we ought to be thankful. You know, David said one time, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord, and to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But we don't have to be a doorkeeper here at Union. We can come in and have fellowship with the saints of God, and we can eat continually at the King's table. Sometimes we talk about a few crumbs that falls from the Master's table. I'm thankful it's been my experience here at Union Church in my lifetime. We had to eat crumbs, Sister Sandra. No, holy men of old, godly men have stood where I'm standing this evening
and proclaimed to us an eternal Savior and taught us about redemption and depravity and salvation by grace, friends. Isn't it wonderful to think about? We're part of the bride of Christ. Paul had a different mindset. He essayed, the Bible says, to join himself to the disciples. They were reluctant to receive him, but a man by the name of Barnabas said, "Let me tell you what happened over in Damascus. Let me tell you what happened. I've heard this man preach. And now he's proclaiming the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Like I say, Paul was one of the greatest preachers that ever spoke in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me move on. It seems like on Wednesday night the time gets by even quicker than it does on Sunday morning. Well, I guess it's 30 minutes compared to an hour, maybe, Brother James. Let's see, in Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 22, it says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch." Antioch, if you look at a map, Jerusalem was kind of on the southeastern border of the, just off the border of the Sea of Galilee. The Mediterranean Sea. But if you go due north, over 200 miles on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, the Mediterranean Sea, you'll come to the places called Antioch. It's going around the Mediterranean a little farther west to get to Tarsus, where Saul was from. But the word came to the ears of Barnabas, and he went to Antioch and said, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Exhorted is another word for encouraged. Remember last week when I brought you your remembrance when Paul in 1 Timothy was writing to this young preacher? He told him, said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Encourage the Lord's people." How do we encourage the Lord's people? There are many, many ways we can do it. We can be creative with that, but I tell you, just the assembly of the saints, forsaking not the assembly of the saints, is great encouragement to me. There's people in my life that when they aren't at church, we wonder where they are. Because they're always there. We know there's a reason. We need to find somebody in their family to ask specifically about them. So he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Much people was added unto the Lord. Are we talking about eternal salvation there? No, indeed not. I don't believe for a second it's talking about eternal salvation, but the Bible says, Paul said one time, "You will be saved if you keep in remembrance the things I preached unto you." We want to be added unto the Lord. We want to walk with the Lord and sweet fellowship with Him if we will listen. And sometimes I hear people pray that we will apply these things to our life. If we will do those things, we'll be added unto the Lord. In a timely sense right here as we live in this world. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. He went to Antioch, but he went a little further west to Tarsus to get Saul. And the Bible says when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. After he went to Tarsus and got Saul, he came back to Antioch, and they stayed there for a year and preached. Don't you imagine that was a year of jubilee, so to speak? Don't you know the great rejoicing of the saints of God when they preached there in that land for a year? And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. A dearth is a great famine. There was a famine coming in the land. It was pronounced by Agabus the prophet.
It said, then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. What is that all about? Then the disciples, it's easy to understand this, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. You talk about encouragement. You've ever been to the little church in Baton Rouge? It flooded a few years back. In 17, I think it was. It flooded about this time. A little later than this. 3 years. Two or 3 years ago. I forget now, but maybe 3 years ago. I think it was 16, perhaps. But you remember what happened and all that? They got money from all across this country. Old Baptists that never worshiped at Bethel of Baton Rouge. But I told you earlier this evening, if you drive down the road and you see a little country church somewhere outside, the little sign says something Primitive Baptist Church, pray for that church. I hear somebody talking about traveling sometimes and you'll go worship at a church. You may not know a soul there, but it's been my experience when I've done that, that it feels like I've known those people forever. Why? Because we have like precious faith. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes I would like to get to know people better in the church. I don't spend a whole lot of time with them, not near as much as I would like to. But they said these people that according to their ability, how much the Lord had blessed them to prosper, they sent relief to Judea. And which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They sent it by Barnabas and Saul. What does that tell you? Does that tell you they were trusted? They were honorable men. They were men of good report. They were men of the Holy Ghost and of much faith, as I read about Barnabas a few minutes ago. Now, there's still, I'm out of time, and I kept you later last week, so I'm going to let you go on time tonight, pretty much tonight, but I want you to continue reading in Acts. I hope you read Timothy last week, Brother Doug, and now as he did a few moments ago, but I hope you go back and read some of these things in Acts. But I do want to mention one thing. You remember last week when I told you that Paul told Timothy this won't be easy? He said, remember what happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. In Scripture, I forget, maybe it's in Acts 13, 14, or 15. I forget exactly, but when they were at Iconium, at Antioch, Barnabas and Paul were expelled from their coast. They said, we don't want to hear what you're preaching. And they were expelled from their coast. But they dusted their feet off and with great joy, they continued to preach wherever they went. And the Bible says there, when they got to Lycaonia or Lystra, Paul was stoned and supposed to have been dead. And I tell you before, sometimes, I don't know about it, if it's your experience or not, but sometimes it is with me. I will read something in Scripture, and then I'll pass over stuff that just does not need to be passed over. You remember what happened with Paul after he was stoned and they supposed he was dead? The Bible says the next day, said he rose up after being stoned to death. Supposed to be dead, he rose up and the next day departed with Barnabas unto Derbe. Can you imagine the healing that took place there? He had been stoned and they thought he was dead. They tried to kill him. Thought he was dead. I can only imagine the bruises, the bleeding beneath the skin that Paul must have had after that attack there at Lystra. But the next day, he departed unto Derbe with a man by the name of Barnabas. There's some other things about Barnabas I'd like to bring to your attention this evening. But I want you to point out one thing to you tonight. I haven't counted how many in here tonight, but I can say ever how many there are. There's that many Barnabases for me. Every single one of you are a Barnabas to me. You encourage me. You encourage the Lord's people. Don't ever take it lightly. your attendance here at this church and your support of this church. You send relief as the Lord has blessed you. I think Brother James will agree with me wholeheartedly. This church supports the pastors that you've called to serve this church. And I want to be a better pastor than I've ever been. This is so important. No, thank the good Lord above, we don't have to help populate heaven, Brother James. That's not my burden. That's not my cross to carry. Because I know what Scripture says about it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I don't want to be cast out, friends. I want to be a part of the disciples. I want to be a part of the church. And we are a part of it. And we ought to never take it for granted, but look to Him every day for strength and wisdom and guidance in this world, that we'll be chosen vessels unto Him. And not only will we be chosen vessels, but we'll act like it. We'll live like it. And we will not do anything or bring reproach upon the church or our natural families or those that look to us for guidance and encouragement. But continue to be a Barnabas. And go back and read a little bit more in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 15. Because I left some good stuff out tonight. I left some really good stuff out. And I challenge you and charge you, as Josiah did, I charge you to go read it. And I believe you'll receive a blessing in doing that. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this evening.